The tune is Tilly's Jig, the musician, Larry Pattis, joining me in the Saturday Cafe today. Larry, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you too, Frank. Thank you for having me.
I was checking my records, and it has been 6 years. It's been 2008 since you were on the Saturday Cafe last.
That's almost half a baker's dozen. I don't even know what to think about that. That's far too long. Although maybe you've been avoiding me. I don't know.
Oh, I would never do such a thing. Reader's Digest, where have you been?
Well, you know, the last couple years I've had off of playing guitar. I've had some autoimmune issues really my entire life. And things kind of accumulated in a fashion that had me retire from playing guitar in January of 12. But in the spring, I ended up hooking up with a doc that had some research medication for me. And about 6 months later, lo and behold, I found that I got my hands back. And so starting in September, I started preparing for playing in front of people again and playing for myself, which was a very, very good feeling.
When you're not playing, are you actually still thinking about music? Are tunes still coming to you? Or is that kind of a feature of having your hands on the guitar? Were you completely out of the music?
Yeah, I would say that over that about an 18-month stretch where I literally didn't touch the guitar but maybe once a week for a couple minutes a day, there wasn't much new thought process for music. It's not always about having the guitar in hand, but it really was, for all intents and purposes, a full retirement from the guitar, and that there was really no notion that I would be able to ever pick it up again. So as painful as it was, I kind of was trying to move on to other things, and there wasn't much music happening. So, but that's all changed now. So we've got this, you know, a bit of a modern medicine science happy ending, as it were.
Well, welcome back to music. You should introduce your guitar to us. She is lovely.
Well, I've got this. I picked up this guitar in 2011. It's a custom guitar by a builder by the name of Simon Fay, who was a 30-something-ish, young 30s, Florida-based builder. I think where he lives, they call it the Space Coast because it's, you know, along the eastern
Cape Canaveral
seaboard.
Exactly.
Yes. And it's just a beautiful handmade guitar that happens to be a little smaller for a guy like me with slightly smaller hands, and also sometimes some difficulty with tendonitis and reaching. So it's just a gorgeous guitar. As I said, I've had it since the fall of 2011, and I was so very glad to open the case in September of 2013 and have it there waiting for me when my hands returned.
Well, I'm sure she's waiting for you to play something. So am I. Would you play?
I will. I'm going to do, as per your request, Frank, because we're both Midwesterners originally, and we both lived in Wisconsin. You're a native, right?
I am a native, yes.
I'm a flatlander from that land down south, Illinois.
You're an Illinois wetback then, huh?
We have a variety of names for the Illinois folk, for those that live in Wisconsin, and we won't repeat any of them on
Not
this
even
family
invaders?
Show. Not, well... Anyway, the bottom line is that I did live in Wisconsin a number of times, and there's this, as you well know, there's this gorgeous state park just west of Milwaukee, the north unit and the south unit of Kettle Moraine. And Kettle Moraine, the moraines were formed by the retreat of the glaciers, and when I was living there in my 20s, we used to go and cross-country ski on the cross-country ski trails at Kettle Moraine. And then in the summer, spring, summer, and fall, we would also go out and run 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 miles on those same trails, of course, without the snow. And so I came up with this piece titled, guess what, Kettle Moraine. And hopefully it brings some of that undulating hills action that people think of the Midwest as flat, but Wisconsin sure is gorgeous. Here's Kettle Moraine.
Oh, I feel like home right now. The tune is Kettle Moraine, my guest today on the Saturday Cafe, Larry Pattis. I'm used to interviewing songwriters, and, you know, songwriting is easy. You've got words. You can talk about the subject of the song, but it seems like there's a grammar or vocabulary to instrumentals, too, that you're telling stories or showing pictures with the notes.
That's the intent. And if we come anywhere near close to succeeding with that, it's really a very satisfying thing. When I compose, it's most often with my hands on the guitar, and there's usually a phrase or a snippet of music that I don't know where the creativity gene comes from or that spark. And so it's hard to describe that, but things appear, and they appear in your life, and sometimes they're transitory and they go away, and other times they hang around. And when these little phrases of music hang around, they tend to get a life of their own. And I feel like the piece is actually directing me, even though it's my fingers and my brain and my feedback system. So there's obviously intent there. But once that process begins, you're both driven by the musical necessity and also generally some notion or picture residing in the back of my brain anyway that relates to what I'm thinking about, what I'm feeling, visualizing what that music might mean. The piece I just played, Kettle Moraine, is an exact example of that, because as soon as the lilting undulation of the music began to appear, I immediately was drawn back to those years in Kettle Moraine State Park in the South Unit, and having that time. So that was that's how this kind of process evolves. And you know that you and I both share a love for the singer-songwriters and the lyrical word, the sung word, and that's always my inspiration, in fact. And so if I get to a point with my writing of instrumental musical pieces to where there is where it evokes the image, or the person listening agrees with my story, because I do tell the stories, and they say, "Oh, I've been taken to that place with you, Larry," then there's no greater success for me, and that's always my intent.
Mm-hmm. I was reviewing your biography getting ready today and realized we'd never talked about your time spent studying with Pierre Bensusan.
Yes, and that was a surprise too, that we hadn't talked about it. The time spent with Pierre, I had produced concerts for Pierre and got to know him starting in the early 1990s, and so we'd been friends for a long time. And as we got into the middle 1990s, I convinced Pierre that, and in my mind, Pierre really is the foremost practitioner of what we call this fingerstyle guitar in the steel string world. And I convinced him that because he was teaching at clinics occasionally, to do some kind of a extended teaching would be a good thing for him, because there would be pupils, he would mm-hmm. be passing on his wisdom, and there would be a transfer of funds that would allow him to continue with the support of his music. Not that his music wasn't supporting itself, mm-hmm. but he's not always on tour. And he decided to create this residential seminar that is held at his home in France. And it's evolved into about a 7-day class. But I went and spent 6 weeks with Pierre at his home in France and studied with him. And it was a magical experience. Pierre lives and breathes the music. And he's also one of the greatest teachers ever. And so what I mostly took away from that experience and any of the times that I've been with Pierre, even if it's just rubbing elbows at a cafe and hanging out and having fun, is that his presence is so devoted to the music that as a musician, as an aspiring musician in the presence of the master, it feels like he's always a mirror, and it's a perfect mirror. And you, the student, implicitly understands what it is that he or she, himself or herself, needs to take that next step at a musical progression. And so that's what I got from working with Pierre. Yes, there were technical exercises. Yes, there were reviews of playing and learning pieces and doing these things, but it's mostly the fact that being in his presence forces you to evaluate your own self in a way that improves you.
Sounds like a wonderful time.
Indeed it was.
You're performing tonight at Cresswell Coffee Company. Where, when, what time?
Yeah, that is, in Cresswell on the east side of I-5. And the address is 116 Melton and Cresswell Coffee at 7 p.m. And we run on a bit of a time frame there because they start very early in the morning and we don't want it to be a Grateful Dead experience. And so what we do is we say 7 to 8:30. And so that's what we're going to be doing, and I'll, that's the time frame, 7 to 8:30, and they really do a great job down there. Seth and Melissa at Cresswell Coffee Co. have been hosting all kinds of wonderful music since they've been open, and it's such a great pleasure to get a chance to play there again. I think this will be the third time that I've played there.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Saturday Cafe today. It's good to see you again.
Likewise, Frank.
We should hear one more tune,
sure,
if you would be so kind.
Sure, I'll do one that's titled 11. No, I'm not going to do 11 Doors. I'm going to do something titled The Hands of Time, which is supposed to be reflective of geologic time, cultural time, and also this very precious personal time that we have on this earth that is limited. Hands of Time. Thank you.